May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1072. Jesus, Redeemer, Saviour, Lord, the weary sinner's friend, come to my help and pronounce the word, bid my corruptions end. 1072.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read, firstly, the book of the prophecy of Micah. The prophecy of Micah. We read from chapter 5. We may make some comment. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops, the prophecy, the coming of the great invading armies. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, there were two Bethlehems, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she, which travaileth, hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed, it says rule. It also means conquer, in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. This man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, when he shall tread in our palaces. Then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. Really it means 8 in all. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, in the land of Nimrod, in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian, when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. In the remnant of Jacob, speaks the gospel day, shall be among the Gentiles, in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep. If he go through, both treadeth down and deareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, the great adversaries of the truth, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers, speaking smooth things. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee. So will I destroy thy cities, it says, enemies. And I will execute vengeance in mine in anger, and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Now just a few verses in Luke 24. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. I believe that is the Spirit of the Lord. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. And the Lord bless his own word. Help us to pray. Lord, grant to us the Holy Spirit, and teach us and guide us and help us, and be with us in prayer by the Spirit, we may approach rightly unto the great I Am. Lord, we seek thy sweetest influence, thy sweet mercy through the Spirit, taking of the things of Jesus, and bringing them and so applying them to our hearts and lives. And do grant us, Lord, the greatness of thy mercy through the blood of Jesus. And grant us much love that we may love thee too. Lord, remember each one, we pray, that thou would bless the dear little ones, even the youngest ones, and the older ones too. And do be with them and round about them. Bless the Sabbath school, and those that seek to bring the truth of Jesus to young hearts, Lord, as they must, and yet thou only canst impress. That be it theirs, Lord, to continue. Graciously help them. And remember older ones and be round about them, Lord, in this dark day. When the world beckons, may thy grace be sufficient. And Lord, be round about those in life's journey that may wonder if these things stand. So rebuke the adversary. Grant knowledge of sin that will drive away these dreadful things. But grant also, Lord, that deliverance from the power and guilt of sin. Thus may there be knowledge, but also revelation. And we pray that thou wilt remember this house of prayer. Grant, O Lord, that thine ear may be opened. Lord, hear, Lord, the prayer of those that feel to be destitute, but they're the ones that thou art here. And remember that the deacons and be round about them. And Lord, remember us in every burden, every care. We seek, Lord, to pray again for our land. We would be guided at the throne of grace. Remember us still. The things being brought to pass this year that were thought to be impossible, and preserved to us, and make it known our exit from Europe is according to the will and minds of our God of ages past. So we pray, now look down upon us, Lord, a poor land that has left the ways of truth, but there is a remnant, and thou dost hear their cries. For those that truly fear thy name, the Lord knoweth them that are his. We do seek, Lord, that thou wilt remember those troubled parts of the earth, and grant a right and proper just peace, and may hearts be subdued. May thy kingdom come. We desire, Lord, that thou wilt draw near. In this service, we pray, leave us not. O Lord, do come. May there be wines and the lees well refined, nothing less. Lord, do grant thy love breaking forth, Lord, with that sweet knowledge, Lord, of the dear Redeemer. May our poor hearts rejoice and be able to know it is the Lord and that we have done all these things at thy word. So, Lord, do come. Grant us one of those times of refreshing. We have read of the dew. Lord, may it be like that. Thy word, thy truth, my word shall drop as a rain, and my speech shall distill as a dew. And Lord, do come over our sin and unworthiness. And do grant, Lord, that we may find that sweetness in the atonement. Lord, to the joy and rejoicing of our hearts, yet there is a fullness. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. We would seek unto it. And Lord, do cover all amiss. And knowest our poor hearts, Lord, are so often so much in need of that peace of him that said, peace be still. And there was a great calm. Come, Lord, and seek that thou wilt remember us and cast us not off. May the Lord appear. May there be that sweetness in Jesus' name. May the Lord be exalted. May sinners be humbled. Lord, do grant us true repentance in our repentance. Lord, it falls short, our sorrow, that thou canst hear us and grant us the sweet compunction and increase of godly sorrow through the blood of Jesus. Must hear us, Lord, as we desire to record thy many mercies. And thank thee, Lord, for the provision of our God. Surely none have gone without. So may it be like that in the ministry. There may be a portion for 7 and also for 8. Any, Lord, that feel they may have to turn back, our Lord, do come and grant thy sweet banner over them, which is love. And do help us, Lord, to come and seek to be made acceptable unto the brethren. Dip our foot in oil. May the blessed Spirit be with us. Lord, do come. Hear the prayer. Grant these dry bones may live, and dead ones too. And grant, O Lord, thy sweetest unction, and the savour of that name for sin and unworthiness, and for every great trial and trouble, thinking personally. We ask that thou wilt remember us, and come, Lord, and may there be holding us up, seeking, Lord, that sweet union and blessing of the Lord to be upon us. Then he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Lord, we ask, thou receive us graciously, forgive all sin and unworthiness, bless each cause represented. Remember each one and make up where we fail. Receive us graciously. We would plead the name and merits of the Lord Jesus. So we ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 713. When faith to Sinai looks, it fills the heart with dread and justifies the dreadful stroke that strikes the sinner dead. And when by faith we trace Christ as the only way from endless wrath to endless bliss, we for the blessing pray. 713.
by the help of God, I'll direct you to the book of the prophecy of Micah, in chapter 5. We read from verse 2 to the beginning of verse 5. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnants of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth, and this man shall be the peace. Now from the verses here, I direct you to the words here that we may be able to speak from. In verse 2, come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. These seem to be the words I must bring to you in the spirit of the gospel. It's not another gospel. We do no despite to the blessed Spirit. For those that come to seek the Lord, they, if they've got any life in their hearts at all, they do need the Lord to grant the application, to meet their heart's desire, and to grant them such a word that might meet their case, their soul's great need. Are there any like that this morning? Well, friends, it will be the desire of such to gather around his word and to hear from the author of it. And really, those truths that belong to the Lord are set forth in his word, and it is the Spirit that applies them, brings them to the hearts of those that fear the Lord. Sometimes may be very tried whether they fear the Lord or not, but let us be very careful not to make some grace of our unbelief. And also, in these verses, there is so much of Christ. Who else can do poor, helpless sinners good? Is it the desire of many souls that there might be a sweet lifting up of that precious name? Micah did, by the Spirit, sweetly anointed. I think it was in the time of Hezekiah. Friends, the Lord sweetly touched his heart with the word of God, the prophecies that are spoken of. They meet in this, the coming of the dear Redeemer. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, found out. This is the one, the Bethlehem, the Lord has chosen. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee. Or maybe know it in the sweet truth of the gospel. Out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. the sweet setting forth there is of the great and glorious one that now reigns above. And yet what things did he enter into and what things did he accomplish? Now is exalted, high and lifted up. The Father views his Son with such sweet and heavenly approbation. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, the wonders of it. The Father should so appoint the partner of his throne, the glorious Son of God. But oh, with what grace did he come? In obedience. And yet, it was appointed that he should come, settled in the decrees of heaven in our text. This one whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. It does need to be clear about it. This is God's own eternal Son, one with the Father and with the Blessed Spirit, a three in one, a triune God. Reverence due to each of the dear names of the Trinity. And he is that one appointed. Really, I want to speak of it. The Father that has appointed this one of, we may say, ancient decree. These are my words, I haven't borrowed them. I found David, my son, my servant. With what heavenly truths the Lord speaks in his gospel of the eternal being of the great I Am and this glorious one. It is revealed he was yet to come. But in the councils of eternity, it is spoken whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You know, he that is the Son of God became the Son of Man. Really, that is the essence, I believe, of the gospel, that in his condescension, in his coming, so he was so named of the angels, of this Jesus. Oh, with what sweetness is his name set forth. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So, I want to quickly come to it, friends. He is altogether the Son of the living God. With what grace did he condescend? Of his blessed self in the sweet truth that he would dwell. The surety is not short of love. He must, in the counsels of eternity, that these goings forth have been from of old. I think it's been said that God should dwell with man. What does it mean to you and me? Does it present some blessed hope that he that came so low might dwell with those that feel to be at the ends of the earth? Those that are hardly maybe able to lay claim to being a son or a daughter. Those that may feel the power of unbelief. Friends, it's the power of it, isn't it? Not just a word, but it's a dominion. It's a terrible, terrible plague. Who can speak of it? You know, it affects some with such woe and trouble. Not all. There are some that God chooses, and in that choice and electing love, he brings to a knowledge of unbelief and sin. That's in the counsels of eternity, that there must be a knowledge of what we are. before we can know rightly the merits, I mean the saving merits, the truth, as it is in Jesus. It's the spirit taking of the truths of God and bringing them into an awakened heart and presenting them with such hope and such grace that ever it can be said that none need despair. Oh, the Lord, apply it. Not much room here for free will in any presentation, however it may be dressed up. Friends, it's that sweet exalting, isn't it? The dear Redeemer in the Gospel. Really, in simplicity, it's containing this, that there's none like him. Then sometimes the doctrines are very precious. That ever, he that was from everlasting in the counsels of God should so be revealed by the Father, and the blessed Spirit should take of the things of Jesus and reveal them, not in heaven. There's much known in heaven, but it's the saving knowledge of that precious name. It's what he can do. Rather, it's what he has done. As the Lord is sweetly pleased to apply his truth. You know, there's something, friends. There may be some that say, well, I haven't got assurance. I haven't got much at all. But what think you of Christ? Does it move your heart with desire? You say, I'll go again. For who can tell? We love to hear him lifted up in the hymns and the sweet truth of his word. May he ever be lifted up in the Gospel. I shun lifting up experience of man to bear upon the doctrines. And so we do need to get things right. It's he that is from everlasting that brings salvation, makes himself known, even reveals the true knowledge of sin, and gets glory unto the God of heaven and the salvation of the lost, them that have no helper, that are hunted out of every false refuge. Sometimes men make many a refuge. It's only a refuge of lies. Oh, it is when the Lord is exalted. Now, where I'm coming to, friends, is when just something sweetly flows and kindles that love unto the Lord, perhaps in want of him, that desire to know him. Perhaps the younger ones may know a little of that sweetness of Jesus' name. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It doesn't say how old, does it, in the hymn? It serves his sorrows, heals his wounds, drives away his fears. Oh, friends, to be poor enough and to be small enough, really, for the great I am. Now, this is a very precious prophecy concerning one that should come, although the situation that was dark, and that it was a very, very dark time before. He that should come, that was from everlasting, should come as we have it here, until the time that she, Mary, which travaileth, hath brought forth. What a dark, dark, terrible time. The enemies of God prevailed more than we can ever realize. Oh, the darkness that filled the land. What had God wrought? But the people had gone to their idols and reaped their reward. What a solemn evidence it is of our own sin. Oh, we've heard, haven't we, most of us, I presume, the truth, and yet it means nothing. This name is nothing until the Lord grants us grace. Something very solemn about that preaching continually, and to have no evidence of that knowledge of the Saviour. Some say, well, it's a solemn thing to be a member. What about the world seeing us coming up so very often to God's house, saying, look at those fine Christians? But friends, it does need me to be very right about it, that we can have everything to be presented to man, both outwardly and inwardly in his house, and it can all fall to the ground in that solemn day when the great trumpet shall be sound. What then? Well, we read in the gospel that those that entered in had oil in their vessels with their lamps, and the door was shut. Well, some may say, oh, you'd best preach then, that they might hurry up and hasten. Friends, that cannot be right. It does need that right setting up of that one way, which is of God himself. None come unto me except the Father draw. And some make a very wide desire to say, well, if I'm not called, if I'm not elected, if I'm not loved, then it is so they go on and get nearer to the world. And their hearts are hardened, God forbid. I want to come very quickly. It's the Spirit's work. And that blessed truth of the witnessing of that Spirit upon the earth, so that the angels of heaven rejoice. Oh, it was to the shepherds, wasn't it? All heaven rejoice. Now that's what we need the Lord to show us. What heaven approves and glories in, the bringing back of one poor prodigal. And they point out the place where grace abounds. It's a sweet hymn to the Spirit. Point out the place where grace abounds. Direct us to the bleeding wounds of our incarnate God. In one sense, angels cannot do that. It's a heavenly work given to his servant. So, to point out the place, but by the Spirit, that I must hasten. Not thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, for there will be little among thee thousands of Judah, that out of thee shall he come forth unto me, who is to be ruler in Israel. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. I want to come into our text, but there's something I want to touch upon. Friends, it's when there's that kindling of that flame in poor sinner's heart, that they're gathered unto his word, into his house, and gathered, they can't tell why, but there is a sweetness in the truth as it is in Jesus. And I was thinking of the way generation after generation the Lord will have a people. And they're such as were given to Christ from everlasting. Oh, the wonder of it. Oh, the quickening of God's Spirit and the bringing of poor sinners to fear before him and to need thee, Lord. Friends, that's the next thing to knowing him, isn't it? It is fearing him and seeking hard unto him with love. We do not set up anything of man, but God touches the affections. Those affections are Godward. Now, that clears up, friends, that this matter that God is a people and they're all gathered, that they're all gathered unto one place. They all declare I nothing am. They all is bound up with the Lamb. They all is nothing worth. Something the enemy cannot undo. The work of God is going forth from the old from everlasting. His electing love. I want to touch upon that. The truth of it. In the streams that we may be spoken of, the Lord breaks into that hard heart and there is desire that God has given. But it needs to be fulfilled. No one to speak experimentally. Come forth unto me. It says to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth have been from of old, everlasting. I think it's been said that preaching the gospel is like taking a net, isn't it? Wonderful thing if the Lord gathers up a few poor sinners. Yet out of thee, come forth unto me, that is ruler in Israel. Do you need the Lord to do everything? With no confidence in the flesh. And yet, you know, not only emptied, but taught. We might think that we can present our emptiness and speak of things as if we are in some wit more able, and the Lord takes his people right off it and brings them very low. They need one from everlasting to meet their case. Some build on man's merits. But you know it is coming, isn't it, to hear what God can do for one so poor that it must be from everlasting. It is that God may grant his sweet grace and justify the coming sinner. Behold, he prayeth. And to look upon one that seeks the Lord, fears his frown, and bears fruit. Not going with the world, is it, in one hand? But coming out from among them and be separate. Not joining things up, as many do today, and saying, well, we live in a different age, and we live in the age that God has given us, and his truth is exactly the same. Well, there are many things that are different, but God is the same. Let me speak of it like this. His gospel, friends, it is the same yesterday, today and forever, as it is in Jesus. Now, I know that there are many ways of looking at scriptures and things But you know, it comes to this. It's what will stand before one that is from everlasting. In his justice. And yet, there's one sweet truth, and that is, though his justice be so great, his ire, his holiness, in his justice, that there's something from everlasting. And that is the love of God. I think we've some of it. That's where I want to quickly come. Oh, this love of God, which is from of old, from everlasting. Really, to speak of anything, the saving way, the blessed Spirit's work, and the delivering of sinners, you know, love is the sum of it. That God should love his people with electing love. Now, how can it be? Some may say, well, I cannot attain. I cannot attain unto it. The love of God. Well, let me come, friends, in the spirit of the gospel. What view have we of Christ? Is he the Father's first elect to us? If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Or do you see it like that, friends? All must dwell in him. And so it goes in the furnace, doesn't it? In the trial. It goes in the fires. It's what comes out, isn't it? A little sweet increase of his love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, really, I said many things, but I want to hasten. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, in his love. Now what may stumble that many that are self-sufficient does not stumble the poor coming sinner. They're driven out of every hope in themselves. What love there is to old self. And our best desires to impress and to present ourselves as so pious and so on. Soon God turns it upside down. And friends, he makes the believer well. And they're brought to see that everything must be in the person of the Lord Jesus. That's a very great matter. That this Son of God should be revealed as that Saviour, the Christ of God, the person. There's much sweetness in it. And yet to be Almighty God, he personates the occasion. Now, in a very real way, this could not be done but in the person of the Saviour and his condescending love. Condescending eternal love. Oh, the greatness of it. That he should come. And thus, in the gospel, he is set up as that one that loveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, the matter is this, he doesn't turn them away. No, they are his traitors and his foes. With enmity in their hearts. How he loves. Very sweet hymns about it. And I venture to say, friends, if the doctrine of the love of God means nothing, then we're in a very, very solemn place. Let me put it like this. It's love that finds out that sinner that is as far from God as sheep can run. Love finds them. Oh, the greatness of it. And he loves the faithless sinner still. But let me just speak of it like this. The eternal nature of that love. Who can dwell upon it? Poor sinners have to preach it. The wonders of redeeming love. That is, as that love dwells in the Saviour, his loving heart engaged to be their everlasting surety. For it's the man. And so it is that in his love he left the realms of bliss to dwell and be born of a woman made under the law and to dwell upon this earth and there to reveal himself, knowing that wonderful truth it was revealed over many years. And so even the surety, the very person of Jesus, had to learn obedience by the things which he suffered. But I want to notice it here. In the words here, it may be found in a poor sinner's heart, very much in desire. Come forth unto me. Leave not my soul destitute, or so destitute. Come forth unto me, mighty. Let this mighty Jesus be an all-sufficient help for me, creating strength and might. And it's a sweet hymn, isn't it? Do you need one that is mighty to save? Or one that is pleased to reveal himself as being mighty to save unto the uttermost? Oh, his arm, is it shortened? Is his ear heavy that it cannot hear? And of course, the truth in the doctrine here is the Father well views his Son with the love of the Father to his church. And he has appointed the church no less than the rich, sacred, wonderful merits of his own dear Son. What love of the Father. Oh, it meets in this that he is that one that is the sense of God with love from the eternal Godhead, but it's through the channel of his mercy, the channel, the dear Redeemer, full of grace and truth, like a river that wafts salvation down to men, his traitors and his foes. Come forth unto me. Perhaps it's the cry of some poor soul this morning that hardly can put one step in front of another, I mean before the Lord. Come forth unto me. Show thyself strong on my behalf. Now, what do we mean into it, friends? Many things have to go. Many things the Lord separates his people from. You know, they have to be separated from their self-righteousness. I'm not so bad, really. That's what many think. And yet the Lord brings these poor souls unto the person of Christ. No different then. Lord, take a poor wretch and do grant the fullness of God for one that is so far off. No, it needs redemption. This one that speaks here in the gospel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He is that one that touches hearts and causes them to hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. and they're brought in the ways of God. Now, in some times past, there were those that went from, we might say, pillar to post to seek to find rest for their souls. They entered into this place and that place, and then they went to a very few sometimes, just a few. And the Lord was there. They knew it. He that his goings were from everlasting was there. And there is a sweet knowledge that it is the Lord. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent. There is that knowledge of the truth that meets the need. And friends, there is also a desire for faithful things. Although it may hurt, though it may bring us low, yet the Lord gives love to his word and truth. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Prove me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Not much left, is there? Search me, O God. And then it's a wonderful thing if we're brought in humble prayer to approach unto the Most High. Come forth unto me. Lord, do appear. Lord, do remember one that is, has sinned away. His goodness, but for his grace, that has nothing, and yet the Lord abides. That's what attracts the poor soul, isn't it? The very person of God in Christ Jesus. I'll go. I'll tell him all my case. I tried to speak of it a little on Tuesday. The difference between dead faith and living faith. Dead faith rests sure. It hasn't got any life in it. It doesn't say, come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. It's got a stock, can drag up many things. Ah, do you need him whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting? I believe it sets forth, and if only I could really set it rightly before you, one that is appointed of God for sinners. One that God has appointed for those that cry unto him. It's for Jesus' sake. They present their petitions not because they are worthy, but rather, so unworthy. But then, how welcome he is to those that are oppressed and undone, have no refuge, need the Lord like that weary dove that returned unto the ark. And then it needed Noah to put forth his hand to pluck her and pull her in unto him into the ark. Come forth unto me. I believe it is that desire for the Lord to make clear those evidences and to even grant that justification through the blood of the Lamb. Lord, thou knowest all things, and knowest that I love thee. And come even now forth unto me, and to need him at the right hand of God, that one whose merits are so needful. Some can rush into his presence and take the name of Jesus in some flippant light wave. Not so. The poor sinner taught by God, he wonders if he dare come. And so he has to come. Lo, glad I come, and thou blessed Lamb, take me to thee as I am. What a sweet hymn that is. And it's pleading, isn't it, what Jesus has done. And it is also that laying claim to the hymn writer speaks, and it needs grace to speak of it. That faith that God is the author of it, suddenly it sees something to lay hold upon and to plead it. Not because of anything in the creature, but its truth, isn't it? It's so precious. Here and there, there are those sweet truths that rest in the soul. And it is in that worthy name it meets there. Oh, how needful thou art. Needful art thou to make me live. There's a sweet hymn about it. Right through thee. Hymn, needful art thou. Can you come in like that? Not much left, is it? Needs the Lord from first to last. There's a sweet part in the psalm speaks of it in Psalm 90. It's a very beautiful psalm, the Lord's people. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. His goings are from everlasting. Thou art God. I do believe that there's great need for the knowledge of God. That is, by the Spirit, it will put right many things. That is how I find it. Return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servant. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. That is by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Of course, they can be the works of faith, the venturing upon him. Especially for those answers of peace. Thy work appear. Now I must draw my thoughts again to the word here. Come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Lord, decide the doubtful case. Lord, do appear. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, we must speak of that wisdom which is from above. Friends, there's nothing he doesn't know. nothing that is hidden from him. Jesus knew himself what he would do. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It speaks of what the Lord is to his church. They need not fear. That have the Lord as their helper, their God. But really, it's the great head of the church, isn't it? Would to God, I believe, as we read in the words here, of those that shall be raised up, perhaps we may speak of it a little further. There are such that are set apart in the gospel day that know what is the truth, whose hearts are taught of God's Spirit. They shun that which is a savour of death unto death. They cleave unto his word and truth. We have it in these words. To raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. Really it is spoken of in the gospel as those evangelists. And also St. Peter, St. Paul. Also, James and Jude, I believe. Now, I don't want to get turned aside, but our poor Zion needs principal men. Principled. They've been through the trials and the troubles. They're such as cannot give credence to that which is of the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh when it's presented. Of course, on the other side, it is those that take comfort that they know nothing and God must do anything, and that's the sum of it. That's solemn too. There's no halfway ground about it. But think ye of Christ is a test. Now, lastly this morning, do we know anything of these goings forth from of old by sweet experience? Can you look back and say, the Lord met me, he's brought me hitherto. Some of you have been through great things. Well, is not the crown upon his head? But what does the Lord require? Grace to walk humbly with your God and to stand upon his truth, and having done all to stand with the heavenly armour, buckle on the heavenly armour. And to God we're more like that, raised up and brought in his ways and truth, and taking the helmet of salvation, nothing less, the shield of faith. We have it set forth very sweetly Ephesians chapter 6, and God worketh these things often with men, that is by his Spirit. Now what do we know, friends, of that setting apart? Perhaps the Lord's dealings, are they sanctified? Do we try and make a grace of our sin and desire to present it as being so right when it's all wrong? I only just speak, friends, out of my heart. I'm not thinking of anything. What I am saying is this: the Lord brings his people by way that know not, and they're brought unto him that is from everlasting, and they're glad to have it so. But all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. He shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. Perhaps we may speak of it if God permits. I must leave it this morning with these really living desires. Come forth unto me. That is, to be ruler in Israel. Rule over us as king. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So there may be different ways to look at the prophecies. But I always desire, friends, to speak and lift up the Lord Jesus. May the Lord forgive all spoken amiss. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, followed by a church meeting. And Mr. Robert Field is also expected to preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1070. Thou friend of friendless sinners hear, and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon a worm that would draw near, that would his heart to thee resign, a worm by self and sin oppressed, that pants to reach thy promised rest. 1070.
to remember our dear aged friend and be round about her, Lord, and answer prayer and grant thy sweet mercy. We need it each. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us each. Amen.